Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Well, good morning, New Jersey. It is Thursday, June the 11th. This is the Jim Gerhardt Podcast. I'm Bob Williams, along with our host, Jim Gerhardt. And Jim, among the many things we're going to talk about today, we're going to ask the audience for their opinions and possibly solutions on how can America close the lid on Pandora's box?
Boy, do we have it. You know, for years, we've been opening with a program that asks the question, where are we going and why are we in the handbasket? But I tell you, grip the gunnels tight, because the handbasket, we are sure in it, and it's hurtling on. I made a list. One thing, it's very difficult to talk about anything. First of all, you're kind of afraid to say something because there is a grievance industry out there working at full tilt overtime. Everybody looking for a chance to be somehow to be demeaned or somehow offended. That's been going on for a while, but I think it's reached an intensity now that's almost overwhelming. And as you know, people will say the most innocent things, and all of a sudden they're in risk of losing their jobs. There's for example, and I digress a little bit here, but I just saw this. There is a college professor at UCLA who is now under police protection because he said that he was not going to follow a demand that at UCLA, black students get a free ride during the exams. They just go right through it with a passing grade. Well, if you look at something like that, who ultimately gets hurt? It's the student who is missing that part of an education and instruction. And that's going to come back to bite him on the tail when he finds out that because maybe something he didn't do is sort of part of his thing. And he does not end up with the competence that he would have had he had a regular education and not given a free ride. And therefore, it's going to make it more difficult for him to make his way in the world. OK, so back. Somebody once said, you can't survey the swamp when you're up to your neck in alligators.
Yeah, right.
I don't think he said neck, but here is where we are. Now, I made a list. I will get to some of the more current things later. I made a list here. We're talking about Pandora's box, which was opened and all the evils of the world flew out to all the plagues to plague mankind. Consider this. When we sit, we have, of course, the pandemic, which we've pretty much forgotten about now. That's still going on, of a deadly disease. We have civil chaos, public disorder. We have environmental devastation. We have a toxic food supply. We have water and air pollution. We have very weak and incompetent leadership. Leaders concerned only about protecting their own backsides. We have a mass lack of direction and values, no goals, no national goals, really. And crime, we have toxic information, really. I guess one way you could put it with media. Right.
Really
can't. It was gender-driven rather than fact-driven. And we could go on and on. I mean, and in New Jersey, I don't even mention the snakehead fish in New Jersey came out of the box.
Yeah.
And of course, the stupid stuff you see on television, the Peyronie's disease epidemic, ED, you know, ring around the collar, and all of these heavy things. So we're in deep doo-doo right now on many, many fronts. Where this goes, it's extremely difficult to try to predict where the whole thing is going. So far as putting the lid now on the box from which these plagues came, I don't know. I had a thought, and this again is a thought. I'm not proposing this as any kind of a theory, but every military coup that I can remember that took place in the world started because of domestic disturbances and situations such as we have now, which got out of hand, and in the perception of military, which generally is their conservative leaning organizations, there comes a point when somebody gets together and says, look, we got to stop in or move in and stop this. This is Fitz Alexander Tytler. Remember the Scottish historian who said that democracy cannot last because eventually, and he gave all of these stages that a democracy has to go through, and it ends with this kind of turmoil because he says that the public will figure out very quickly in a democracy they can vote themselves the lion's share of the treasury, and then the economy will ultimately collapse. And a democracy, historically, starting with the Greek democracy, every attempt at democracy except our own now has fallen and been replaced by a dictator, military dictatorship. I think what the left is pushing for is in concert with this, but they are not looking at it as a military takeover, but a political takeover by one political faction, which is them. This is the progressive left in this country, seeing that a takeover, they're plotting a takeover. Now, I don't know this, obviously. I will bet, though, that somewhere in the military, there are contingency plans being drawn for this. When does this get out of hand? You know, something is going on right now that is our worst nightmare. And the nightmare, I think I've mentioned this before, because I said I feared this, but now it seems to be here. Here you have a crisis. You have chaos. You have mobs running the streets in many, many cities now unrestrained because they're actually being encouraged by the local political structure. And your life and your property are threatened. So who do you turn to? You turn to the government to protect you.
Right.
Only to find that the government is on the side of those attacking you. And I mentioned that before when the gun control business comes up. Why are they buying all these guns? I don't think they're sitting back there saying, well, these are all what paramilitary organizations are going to try to overthrow the government. No, I think they have foreseen something just like that, that the way things were going in this country, it would seem everybody seems to feel ultimate chaos. It's like the train in the old Western movie. Train is roaring down the tracks. It's out of control. The conductor, is back and everybody's fighting over some political matter or other in the cars. The engineer is texting and the bridge is out up ahead.
Yeah, right.
And this seems just headlong rush into chaos. And I think people see that, but people have feared the way things are going, that they cannot rely on the government, would not be able to protect them at a time of trouble. Now it turns out that's absolutely true. We can see it in all the large cities. And of course, the police are now this absolute insanity to rein in, to unfund, and to somehow abandon police departments. This is absolute craziness.
Yeah.
If you have laws, and laws are meant to keep order, if you have laws, you have to have some enforcement of those laws. Everybody is not going to voluntarily agree to everything. And if you do not have any enforcement of the law, the winner is the person who does not abide by the law, by definition.
Yeah.
So here you've got these terrible situations in Chicago. What is it, Memorial Day weekend?
Yes.
I think it was just Memorial Day. 45 right. People were murdered.
Yeah, crazy.
And a lot of those were innocent people. You could say, well, these are all gang members, you know, good for them. No, not at all. I mean, all the collateral damage is huge in these children, women, people totally innocent. I don't see anybody out in the street demonstrating to stop that at all. Now, if you have no law enforcement at all, this is going to multiply many times. There are going to be multiples of this, of course.
Right.
So where it goes, I do not know. And as I said, we can sit here and have these alligators in the swamp snapping at us. And what do you do? I don't know. What tree do we climb? I don't know. I'll ask the questions. Anybody know? I'd love to hear from you. Where do we go from here? We're in deep, deep doo-doo.
Yep.
The neighbors.
Yep. And, you know, we're talking about how many politicians need to be publicly humiliated or their jurisdictions become, you know, victims of violence before everybody realizes that the current plan for reform may not be the best way. Jim, there's got to be a better way. I mean, we've got to think this out. I mean, obviously, there are issues that really need to be addressed.
Of course there is. I mean, these things can be done. A point has been made. Now it's time to settle down and thresh out what you do, but not have politicians do it in panic for their own sake, for their own power, their own reelection. It has to, but I don't see that anywhere, because look at the political class we have allowed. See, one thing that's hurting us right now, while we're being steamrollered in this whole thing, is that we sat back since the, I guess, the early 90s or the late 80s and allowed ourselves to fall under the very stern dictates of political correctness. Now, political correctness, simplified, is that you are subjected to the fantasy of somebody else, and you have to believe it and live by somebody else's utopian notion. And yet, as everybody laughed at it, butt of all kind of jokes, but people still knuckled under for it, to it. Certain things you can do, certain things you can think, certain things, words you can't say, and the like. The total annihilation of the concept of the First Amendment, which we don't have right now. I mean, how can a school principal in New Jersey say something that's perfectly true and logical and yet have to get down on his knees and grovel? The professional ball players with sackcloth and ashes and having to wear a hair shirt under their jersey during the season for saying something that's perfectly, perfectly logical and innocent. Right. But we have allowed that to happen to us. Here's America. What people are seeing now in this country, our people in other countries are seeing in this country, this America was the sign, the symbol internationally of freedom. And Americans were the people the rest of the world looked to as the freest and the most passionate defenders of that freedom on earth. But now what happens? The emperor had no clothes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right now we found out that we Americans are a paper tiger. This highly valued and envied passion for defense of freedom has turned out to be just the hollow, the old house of cards right now, collapsing at the first puff.
Yeah.
And here we are, sitting back. You tell me what the next phase, the next step is going to be. I don't know. Does anybody know? We only know the political people are playing this to their own advantage. They're taking advantage of the crisis like mad.
Yes, and it's an election year, so that really has a lot to do with it. I mean, a lot of these ideas that are coming out here really are not have based on any sort of fact and really, really strong data that's going to cause real change. You know, Jim, we were talking yesterday, I had suggested, I think you watched a little bit of it. I saw this, my son told me to watch this documentary on Netflix. It's called The 13th, about the 13th Amendment, about the Emancipation Proclamation. And it was a fascinating documentary by Netflix, talking about the last 50, 60 years on how race relations have gone and the problems that have existed over the years. And basically, in a nutshell, if you haven't seen it, it basically talks about how the prison population has quadrupled since early 1970s up till today. It's gone from a couple of 100,000 to over 2 or 3 million now. And a lot of that is blamed on drug arrests, which started really going hard and heavy back in the early 80s, right up through today. And laws have been passed by all kinds of politicians over the years to really crack down on that. That's a real systemic problem. And I also learned in that the prison system, what an amazing, amazing industry that the federal prison system is. That is a major, major cash cow for many people. And they are driven, their profits are driven on the amount of the vacancy or the population.
The volume.
So the more people that are incarcerated, the more money these companies are going to make, the more money that the prison builders are going to make, the more that the food services and all the support staffs, all the doctors and medical and everybody that's helping with the prison system. It is an amazing, amazing disgrace on how we...
It's an industry. It's an industry as opposed to a system. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which led me to believe to start thinking about suggestions for improving what we've got going on today. How about we start with outlawing federal lobbying, government lobbying?
God grant.
Isn't that a crazy, crazy suggestion? I mean, you think about it. If you didn't have lobbyists, legal lobbyists, which are putting money in the pockets of politicians, but from both parties, and they've been doing it for ages. If you were to outlaw that and just let the governor, let the legislators govern without any sort of undue influence, can you imagine how much greater and more objective our political system would be? I mean, I'm not just talking about the prison system. I'm talking about, think about it, how much money is lobbied for the drug industry, the opioids, family planning. How many unions and companies and industries have unfair influence through government lobbying, paid lobbying? Stuffing a little bit in so-and-so's pocket, if that was outlawed. But the problem I'm thinking that may not be able to be done through regular legislation. I think it needs to be done through a referendum ballot question open to the entire nation. Yes or no? Should government lobbying, monetary lobbying, become illegal and banned?
Well, you see, there's a problem with government reform. This system has been incrementally tuned to create the maximum financial opportunity for those players in the system, which generally are our elected officials. And so they've got this system, which is it's self-perpetuating, because the only way to change the system, the only force that can change the system, is the players in the system. They have created the system. They wallow in the system. They love the system. Right. It works to their advantage. And you think they're going to sit down and vote to change it?
Right.
It's not going to happen. Here's an example. What would you say? A bit of fallout from what you're talking about. The police, who are under fire right now, as they were back in the 90s in New Jersey, sometimes this animosity will sort of burn itself out, the enthusiasm, the energy behind it. But anyway, everybody seems to be going after police right now. People resent authority. But here's the thing. Now they say, well, look at all the bad police, the police in Milwaukee and the other very tragic incidents that have occurred. And you say, well, why did they allow a person like that to stay in the department? I mean, this was a powder keg ready to explode.
Right.
Well, here is the simple reason. Police know this. Police jurisdictions, the authorities, the people, they know you've got people in that, or a person, perhaps, maybe some don't, God willing. But you know, you can see a person when they're about to get into some kind of trouble. You can't stop it at that point because of union rules.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
The strongest unions, the public workers unions, are the strongest unions in America. The police and firemen's unions are the most, the strongest.
Right.
And they have rules that you cannot do that. I mean, there are all kind of incidents in which you know that something bad is going to happen, or they know they can't stop it until it's happened, and then it's too late. So I don't know. My guess is, and it's purely a guess, that even in Milwaukee or these other cities, when these cops who do terrible things, when at some point it became evident to somebody that this guy is a problem, this is going to be trouble, but you can't do anything about it. Now, how did the unions get all of this power? This is mostly through the Democratic organizations who had lobbied, talk about lobbying, and the union lobbyists are the largest lobbying combine or group in the country right now, are public workers unions.
Well, look at Jim.
How do you deal with that? And again, this is a party who has dug us into this pit. The Democratic leadership has dug us into this pit. And I don't know how they figured to dig us out. I don't know that they thought about that.
Right.
This is using this crisis to gain power is what the game is. Once you get it, it's kind of like a dog, or a group of dogs, if you want, who chase cars.
Yeah.
And they chase cars. All of a sudden, one day, they catch one. And the dog sat there and said, well, what do we do now? What do we do with it? And well, so the chase, the lust for power, of course, is the energy that's going here. There is an African proverb, and I know it's an African proverb because it was the title of a novel back in the 50s called Something of Value. And it dealt with the South African situation. But the moral was, and this was based on a local saying, never destroy something until you have something of value to replace it.
Right.
Now, we are seeing our democracy as we have known it destroyed, certainly attacked. But nobody's proposing anything better specifically at all that I know of anyway.
Right. Well, you talked about the unions having such power. And let's go back to our state here. How did Governor Murphy get elected?
He bought it.
They galvanized the union votes, public worker unions. They got out there in droves. Yeah. You know, people are asking the regular citizen, like, how the heck did this guy get in? I voted. I didn't vote for him. But yeah, it's the public workers unions that got him elected by a pretty fair margin, too.
To prove that is the fact that the reason that Chris Christie got elected over John Corzine was that the unions did not back Corzine enthusiastically. They gave a little bit of lip service, but essentially the unions never galvanized their workers and their influence to support the Democratic Party candidate. That's the only time that's happened, certainly in memory.
Lisa Thomas, viewer today, says, we need more third-party options and people to stop voting the two-party system. Bravo, Lisa. I just wish we could get enough people to go along with that sort of thing.
We need peace on earth and an end to hunger and all of these pies in the sky. Yeah. But getting them is the problem, not needing them. Yeah. And the system is so sewed up, so screwed up that I sit and I lament and I get sick when I see what's going on and see that a beautiful system potentially, you know, on paper in the Constitution is being destroyed. On the other hand, there's some of me that says it has to be destroyed. It can't go on the way it is. And of course we need these things. And everybody would agree, you know, maybe it's one of the few things we would agree to, but we can't because we have allowed this political structure. Now what we have going on is an American Taliban. Taliban, you know what the name Taliban means? You know what it means? Huh?
No, don't tell me.
Local language in Pakistan for teacher or students. I'm sorry, it can be teacher too, but essentially it's students. Now, who is out there fomenting much of this discontent? You call them students or enrollees. I don't know what they're studying except mayhem, but it almost is like that. And they are as draconian that people can be destroyed. As I mentioned, the professor, we had the school official in New Jersey who said something, and all of a sudden, everybody has to hit their knees and grovel and rend their garments, you know, and gnash their teeth in outer darkness because they had a thought that was not in concert with this current thought. Everything you believe, anybody believes, is something you've heard or you've been told. You weren't born with that knowledge. You weren't particularly brought up with it. A very wise person once said, anyone who purports to tell you what the meaning of life is and what the world is all about is suffering from a serious mental disease. And the point is, here we are, these creatures riding a rock through space. Nobody knows where it came from, where it's going, what's going on. And so anybody's illusion, delusion, mythology is as good as anybody else's. But you have to pick one and you buy it. It's like the traditional legendary Chinese restaurant menu, column A, B, and C. Right. So you take religion from column A, you take your political affiliation from column B, and you've got a choice there. So we're all operating really under a delusion. And the mass delusion now is this pie in the sky progressive business that is patently impossible to achieve.
Yeah.
And if you want to get into something that goes down another road, but in a historic perspective, we as a creature are bound by our genetics, our environment, and our status, where we are on the evolutionary road. In my opinion, one of our problems is we have not evolved far enough to accept true equality, brotherhood, peace, because we still have a very strong part of our brain, this medulla, which is the old center of fear, aggression, and territoriality. It's very strong. It's built into you to try to get one up on your neighbor, on anybody else. Because going back when our genes were developing, historically or evolutionarily, that there was a limited amount of resources to keep you alive, like food, clothes, shelter, and the like. And you always had to be in competition with other groups or other people. And so you naturally have this will, what Nietzsche and Schopenhauer call the will to power. And you still have that, somebody trying to get one up. And so you do have this in varying degrees. Some people are just over supercharged with the lust for power.
Right.
They become our political leaders. And in which the main agenda is perpetuating that power rather than serving those of us who are trying to keep up with it. Right. Anyway, that's another path to go down at another time. So, I think it's pretty indicative of the fact that I, for one, and I think many people, just thoroughly confused about what's going on. And the fact is compounded by the fact that we can't believe our sources of information because they are all agenda driven.
Very unreliable. Yep.
So how do you arrive at a solid opinion? Right. I don't know. Tell me.
So before we wrap up here, this week at Governor Murphy's press conferences, you know, it's basically he's giving us the message, do as I say, not as I do. I mean, the governor participated in a couple of protests over the last week going against his own rules of public gatherings and social distancing. He basically violated that. So he's basically, you know, going against what he said. So I got the question for us. Who's the knucklehead now? I mean, really? I mean, and who? Well, what are we to believe, Jim? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm on pins and needles right now, waiting to see if there's going to be a spike in the COVID cases since all of the mass protests have occurred throughout New Jersey the country.
That's a very good question. See what's going to happen. It's part of the Democratic policy. You and some of these cities and these states, you cannot go out of your house except on what urgent business, which was supposed to be. You don't go out and you keep a distance when you do, but you go for food, you go for medicine, you go for family matters, and now to riot.
Right. Yep.
So they add that to it. So that apparently, and these. You know, I hate to keep harping on this in a sense, because I'm really just terribly disappointed in the party that I had once supported, which isn't that party anymore. This seems to be the thing that as you said, the mayors, the leaders want to be Big Brother. They impose these draconian rules, but the rules do not hold up if it comes into conflict with what they consider to be their agenda, which is votes and perpetuation of power.
I'll tell you, I think the next week or so is going to be very interesting because I think people are past the point of even wanting to comply. Asbury Park, the town council, just passed a new ordinance that's starting Monday. Indoor dining will be allowed at reduced capacity. Indoor, not just outdoor. And that's above and beyond what the governor is allowing at this point. Also, South Jersey, Jeff Van Drew, who obviously turned from Democrat to Republican earlier this year, he's been petitioning the governor and he's not been getting answers on how about a plan for South Jersey. South Jersey wasn't hit as hard as Central and North Jersey with the cases. They got to get back to work. So he is looking to put some sort of plan together on behalf of his constituents. So it's going to be a very interesting week, Jim. I think we're pretty much past, you know, the patience level here.
The problem is that you are looking at this, and many people tend to look at this from a standpoint of logic and reason. There is no reason and logic in this. This is some sort of a chaotic, anarchic energy that's abroad in the land right now. Let me do something quick before we get through. I guess we're getting close to
Yep, Chuck bounces. I see him down.
You know what? Last Saturday was.
That was June 6th. Oh, a D-Day. Yes.
Yeah. Did you hear anything much about D-Day with all this crap going on?
Not much.
D-Day, the invasion. Now, here is what we missed because we were too busy out doing whatever is being done. The chaos. We're contributing to the chaos. D-Day, the longest day, the Normandy invasion. Now, here is just a thought, and I'll end with this. And I promise I'll zip it up after this, but I almost have to say it. It passed almost without notice. And because the information, the news we get, has been upstaged completely and pushed off the stage by people who are, quote, demonstrating. Now, have you ever given thought to the fact that had not these people been willing to give their lives, did give their lives to keep the country free under the Constitution to protect your right to demonstrate? And so you're only getting away with this because of the sacrifice these people made. And yet nobody paid any attention to that. It's a terrible thought. What would have happened had they not done that? Had they not won the war? Have you thought of what this would be like? There would be no minorities of any kind if the Nazis had taken over.
Yeah, a lot of people say we'd be speaking German if the D-Day invasion did not happen.
But only people that they approved of as Aryan pure would be speaking that German.
Right.
They really had no patience, as you say, with the horrors that went on would have continued and maybe increased once they get into fertile territory here. So I think it was a mistake to get carried away with this particular energy that's going on out there to the neglect of looking back and seeing what gave you the power to be able to get away with this.
Yeah.
The sacrifice of these people who kept an enemy that would have destroyed you and many of us. So anyway, that's it. I rest my case. God be with everyone. Namaste. Oh, that's another thing. Just quick. Now I keep saying that. But we're told we shaking hands is over, right? I mean, that we're through with that. Fist bumping also is kind of questionable. How about going to live long and prosper? That would work. The Vulcan.
That's okay. A good one.
But I'm suggesting this beautiful, beautiful Asian tradition of putting your hands together to originally say namaste. I do that to people, and I'm amazed the number of people who do it back. And it's a beautiful thing. You shake hands, that means you're going to be sure the guy's not carrying a knife to stick you with or a gun to shoot you with. But this doesn't. Namaste simply says the spirit in me recognizes the holiness of the spirit in you. Beautiful. Beautiful. And so I will leave you on that. Everybody, namaste.
Namaste. See you next week.